Hi, folks. I'm Mark Legere, and you're listening to Surf City on CFMH 107.3 FM. Well, I ran into a UNB prof this morning on the way to work, and we launched into an impromptu Bash Fredericton session. Well, we weren't actually knocking them, per se, as much as we were talking about how much they seem to dislike us. And more to the point, they don't seem to like visiting us. The professor was telling me about how some UNB administrators had come down for meetings yesterday and insisted on driving home even in the snowstorm rather than spend the night here. And this is part of a pattern he's noticed. They'll come if they must, but they won't stay on any longer than they have to. St. Johners, he said, loved to not only visit Fredericton, but stay occasionally overnight as a little getaway from home. And many of us routinely drive to Fredericton to attend their Saturday market. Well, tonight we're talking to Fredericktonians making the trip down Route 7, and perhaps they'll even stay overnight. Yes, indeed, tonight the theme for the show is the Fredericton connection. By sheer coincidence, we are featuring either people living in Fredericton or performing there. All of them, though, will be of great interest to our St. John audience. Now, first off, we're giving away two free tickets to the Annie DeFranco show January 25th in Fredericton, so prepare to call in for your chance to win. Then we'll chat with architect John LaRue about architecture in St. John. And though he lives in Fredericton, he takes great interest in our city. He recently wrote an in-depth article about the world-class architect who is designing the proposed Irving building on the waterfront. And LaRue has also been critical of the city's plan to bury the steps of the St. John Art Center in the proposed Peel Plaza development. Now, he's giving a public lecture about St. John architecture tomorrow night at Imprint Bookstore on King Street. And last but not least, we'll interview Graham Walker from the Olympic Symphonium. The Fredericton-based trio will perform with Isaac and Blewett on Saturday night in St. John. And Walker, a St. John native, will talk about their upcoming touring season, which includes an appearance at the Olympics in late February. But first, we're going to try and give away these Annie DeFranco tickets to the Monday night show in Fredericton at the Playhouse. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the first call to this number, 645-0819. That's 645-0819, and ask for Ricky. And the first person that calls Ricky gets those tickets to the Annie DeFranco show on Monday night. And before we get to our interview with John LaRue, we're going to play a tune by Annie DeFranco called Smiling Underneath. And that is Ani DeFranco with Smiling Underneath, and that's from her latest album, Red Letter Year. And just as a reminder, to write this phone number down, that's 645-0819, and you'll find Ricky on the other end of that line, and you'll get yourself a two free tickets to the Ani DeFranco show in Fredericton on Monday night at the Playhouse. Again, Ricky's number is 645-0819. Now, John LaRue is the author of Building New Brunswick. He's also a contributing writer with Salon, the Saturday art supplement of the Telegraph Journal. And tomorrow evening, he's appearing at Imprint Books as part of their Back Talk series. He'll give a visual tour of the city based on some of the buildings he highlights in his book. And John joins us now on the phone from Fredericton. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
So let's start by chatting. I want to chat about with you about a couple issues in the city, including the Irving Building on the waterfront, and also the Arts Center and Peel Plaza. But I wanted to start first by asking you about what you're going to be talking about tomorrow night.
Well, I mean, just the glory that is St. John architecturally. It's St. John has been a much maligned city for the last couple of decades, but I think now people are really starting to kind of understand how incredible it is and how beautiful it is and just how significant the architecture it has can be. I mean, it's lost so much over the past few decades, which is just a shame, but it had so much that still has some incredible buildings left, and it's just worth celebrating. And hopefully when you realize how good the base of its 200-year architectural history is, you know, it'll hopefully prompt us to build better buildings in the future.
Yeah. Going back to talking about how you had said that St. John's been much maligned, and we haven't necessarily appreciated the buildings that we did have or worked to preserve them. What are some of the buildings in your book that we've lost that were real gems?
Well, it's kind of sad. I'll even say, first of all, I mean, a city, I live in Fredericton and love it, but a city like Fredericton hasn't really lost that much for a bunch of reasons. Moncton's lost quite a bit. St. John has lost an incredible amount of its built wealth. And in fact, you think one of the worst examples is in the late 60s and early 70s, they destroyed an entire neighborhood along Main Street, now where it's just sort of the six-lane road near the CBC building there and the old Chesley Place and McDonald's. That had about 4,000 people that lived there at one time, and there was businesses. It was one of the most commercially viable streets in the city, and now it's gone for no reason, because at the time they thought St. John would grow to 300,000 people. So they tore down this neighborhood to build a wider highway that never really needed to be done. The city sort of stayed the same, and it's one of the worst kind of urban blight disasters in Canadian history, actually. But they've lost the train station, the old Union Station, which is where Harbour Station is now. They tore that down in the early 70s. That was probably one of the finest medium-sized stations in the country. That was essentially a Roman temple. It was beautiful.
Probably a lot like the Halifax one that still stands.
It was nicer than that one. It was sort of a small version, but it was a lot like that, yeah. It was sort of a miniature version of the Toronto Union Station, and it was just gorgeous. It was torn down in the 70s because I heard the mayor at the time wanted it gone so he could get a hockey arena, and it never quite appeared until 20 years later. And even now, I still don't think Harbour Station is a worthy replacement for it. Probably the worst loss they had would be almost a tie. I'd say probably the General Hospital going is a real shame, because that was a wonderful building that could have found a lot of great adaptive reuses. It's needed a vision, and no one at the time stepped up to the plate. But before that, in 1960, right opposite St. John High School, there's a building which is probably the greatest building built in the history of New Brunswick. It was called the Old Customs House, and it was built after the Great Fire, and it was this gorgeous example of carved stone with domes and turrets and decoration. And it was sort of, if you took the legislature in Fredericton and multiplied it by, say, three, that's what you would have with the Old Customs House. And it was torn down at the time. They just didn't treasure the qualities and history of it.
Yeah, it's actually, when you walk down along Water Street, there the only thing left there to commemorate it is a plaque. And you look at the plaque and you see the building that once stood, and then you look across the street and see the one, you know, one of the ones that was erected in its place.
They replaced it.
Just about breaks your heart.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful. I mean, I have no idea what's going on in people's minds. I will tell you one thing, though. This doesn't even begin to replace it, but actually there actually is some type of building left. If you stand right across from St. John High, or you might be over like half a block, there's a parking lot with this really steep kind of a 15-foot rock wall that's there, retaining wall. Anyway, in the rock wall, you can see it's underground. There's a whole bunch of it's cut stones with some window openings. That was the basement of the old customs house. So there's some of the wall. So it's beautifully cut stone. So go look at it next time you're there. There's a little bit of it still left.
Now, the segueing into talking about some of the buildings that are still standing and some of the ones that are to come, I know that there was also talk back in the 60s and 70s of tearing down the city market, which never actually, obviously, never happened. And thankfully, in a lot of ways, I'm not sure. Well, I can't judge it architecturally, but as
sure.
a city center.
Can you imagine St. John without the city market?
No, I don't think anyone can.
City.
So I did want to move on to talking about some of the buildings that are left standing that you would highlight in your talk tomorrow night. What are some of the ones that are still here, still there?
Well, luckily, some of them are examples of some strong vision, like the City Market, which is just an exquisite piece, one of the few buildings real close. That was at the edge of the Great Fire, too. I mean, that almost lost that to the fire in 1877. But one of the ones which, again, came close to being the wrecking ball, but luckily didn't, was the Imperial Theater, which is just a gem of a theater. And anyone who actually performs in it, beyond it just being gorgeous and beautiful on King Square, it's actually a wonderful theater technically. Anyone that performs there says the acoustics are great. It probably is the best medium-sized theater in Canada. So it goes beyond its architectural qualities as being just a wonderful space.
Yeah, I think actually when Joel Plaskett was playing there last fall, he actually improvised a song that he was playing on stage to sort of celebrate the theater itself and sort of talked about the fact that there was nothing like that in Halifax.
I heard about that, and that would have been incredible. I mean, because someone like Joel, he would get it because he's just open to that kind of thing. But yeah, just across King Square, there's a building that the old Scotiabank building that now is owned by UNB. That's a simple stone structure in a way, but it's a really significant Canadian work of architecture. And a lot of people don't know it's got these beautiful carved kind of figures on the side, these Art Deco figures representing the history of New Brunswick and a logger and a hunter and that kind of thing. And it was the last important building by a really important Canadian architect named John Lyle, who was from Toronto, but he's considered the father of modern Canadian architecture and really pushed for a nationalistic sense of kind of treating buildings in a real Canadian way with Canadian ornament. And it's his last great building. So it's a really significant Canadian building that people in St. John, they just don't realize, because it's kind of stripped down and modern. And it was sort of a springboard for a lot of great work that was to come in the mm-hmm. country. Those are two really good ones. There's lots. I mean, just the residential neighborhoods uptown are incredible, or Douglas Avenue and the ship captain's homes, even the New Brunswick Museum. I mean, you can kind of go on and on. Prince William Street, it's amazing. And in the last, say, 5 years, 5-10 years, people are starting to reinvest in those and realize, hey, this stuff has some value. And young people really care about heritage, and they want nice spots and this sense of material quality will really help bring people here and keep people in St. John. So it's not just something that's beautiful and evocative. It's economically viable.
I wanted to make sure before I let you go to touch on a couple of hot issues around architecture here in the city recently, and you've weighed in on both of them. And one of course is the issue of burying the city, the Arts Center steps possibly to accommodate the tunnel as part of the Peel Plaza development, but also on the other side, the more positive architectural side, the development of the proposed Irving building down on the waterfront.
Okay. Well, let's start with the Irving building. I actually went down to New York City a few months ago to meet and interview the architect of that. His name's Robert Stern, and he's a big deal. He's one of the greatest architects in America and even the world. He's renowned for work that he's done over the last 40 years, and he does work of just impeccable quality, beautiful buildings. They're really going to get a gem. It may be one of the greatest buildings built in New Brunswick in the last century. And they're aiming for it to be one of the most progressive and sustainable buildings as far as green technologies go and environmental systems. I was blown away by how far they're taking that. So beyond it being just a beautiful work, it's going to really be a showpiece for forward thinking on how to treat a building for efficiency. So it should be something wonderful with huge glass atriums facing the harbor. St. John's never really acknowledged that it's on this wonderful waterfront site. Buildings don't really look out to the water, but this one is, so it could be great. As far as, well, see, Peel Plaza, do you want me to just kind of weigh in on this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, for Peel Plaza, there's two things. There's, development of it and tearing down the heritage buildings, which I certainly weighed in on and I'm against, and there's no reason to tear them down. They don't need the space. They should work around them because those make the neighborhood viable and progressive, and if you just cleared it in a parking lot, why would anyone necessarily care about that area of Union Street? They have this wonderful wealth of buildings that are still in good shape. They need work, but every building needs work, and it's worth saving them. I mean, the area has more value if more heritage buildings are there. As far as burying the potential to bury the art center by, whatever, 4 to 6 feet to allow a tunnel, that's just one of the most misguided things I think I've ever heard in years. Why would you spend $1 million or more to really destroy the integrity of probably one of the greatest buildings in St. John for a tunnel that I'm still not convinced they need it, whether they do or not? I mean, what would they do if the police station and justice building weren't right across the street from another? If they were three blocks apart, would they build the tunnel then? Of course they wouldn't. So you can't tell me that you need the tunnel. And to spend all this money to really ruin one of the great buildings just doesn't make sense. I mean, either don't do it, find another way, but it's misguided is me being very kind. They just shouldn't do it. It would really kill that building.
Yeah, and the jury's still out on that, so hopefully it will they'll go the way of preserving them.
I hope so. And think of the money they'd save. I mean, put it somewhere else. But when you're at the UNB, or not the UNB Art Center, but sorry, the St. John Art Center, that space is just incredible. You walk in there, you're just filled with this lively spirit of, you can feel the ghosts of 100 years past, of St. John, of learning, of libraries and books and painters and artists. And it's got this wonderful sense of progress to it. And it's a beautiful space.
All right, well, thanks a lot, John. I hate to cut our chat short because it's very good, actually, but we'll look forward to your talk tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really looking forward to it, too. Good talking to you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay,
bye-bye.
And that was John LaRue, and he's the author of Building New Brunswick, and he will be at Imprint Bookstore on King Street to talk about St. John architecture and about his book tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, and that's at 16 King Street. And before we have a chat with Graham Walker from the Olympic Symphonium, we're going to play a cut off their most recent album called Intentions Alone.
I'm
Olympic Symphonium with Intentions Alone. And Olympic Symphonium is performing on Saturday night here in St. John at the Park Avenue, I think it's Park Avenue United Church on the east side. And I have Graham on the phone right now, Graham Walker, who's part of the band, and he is down in St. Andrews for a show tonight with Isaac and Blewett.
Hi, Graham.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Great, glad you that you could join us.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you're doing a show tonight with Isaac and Blewett in St. Andrews.
That's right, yeah, we're doing the theater thing, St. Andrews.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about, I guess you're doing two or three shows with them.
We are, actually, yeah, we're doing three over the weekend, but just two with Isaac and Blewett tonight in St. Andrews and Saturday in St. John. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's been a few months. We spent a lot of time with those guys last summer, and had us up for their Harvey Hall series in Alma for folk music fans. That's a pretty famous sort of night of music. They run Friday night series there all summer, and it's a great time. So, yeah, we're looking forward to being back on the stage with those guys, absolutely.
And you're playing on Saturday night in an intimate setting, a small venue.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you like about performing in those kinds of venues?
You know what, with this group, with the Olympic Symphonium, it's been interesting for us because as we started playing, I mean, we were in bars and little pubs and restaurants, and for those familiar with the band, realize how sort of mellow and laid back that music is, and it's sort of tough to compete in those scenarios. So for us to be able to be in those sort of listening rooms and churches and in small theaters and those sorts of places, it just really adds experience to the show and allows us to sort of focus on, you know, on the music side of it and actually putting the show together and performing well and instead of having to compete with volume. So we're really excited that we're now able to sort of do those shows and get some people up for them and have them succeed. So, yeah, this Saturday show in St. John is at Park Avenue United Church. And really, this is sort of the first kick at the can in terms of shows. At that time, there's a team of people there that are really excited about trying some live music and really working hard at promoting it. So we're sort of a guinea pig, and hopefully things go okay.
Yeah. And you have a lot on the go right now. You're starting work on a new album, I guess, and you also are touring. You're going to be playing as part of the Olympics in late February.
We are, yeah. We started a new recording 2 weeks ago, I guess, in Fredericton. We were able to run a house there and spend sort of 7 or 8 days, I guess, straight getting started on the new album. And we're really, really happy with the progress we made there and we're going to start mixing it in a couple of weeks. And it would probably be, I guess, late summer or early fall before we look at releasing that. But then we're going to do this run of shows, and we've got a couple other shows coming up in Nova Scotia, and then we head to Vancouver for a week in, the third week of February, I guess. So obviously really excited about that, and just found out today we're not allowed to use our name, the Olympic Symphonium, but it's a conflict of interest. So we have to figure out what we're going to call ourselves for that particular event, but anyway, we're excited nonetheless, so.
And with the just want to touch again on the new album. What's it going to sound like compared to More in Sorrow Than Anger? Is it going to be similar, or is it going to be?
Interesting question. I don't think it's going to be nearly as dense as that one. With that album, we sort of made it an unwritten goal, I guess, to have as many of our friends sort of contribute as we could. And I think there might be upwards of 30 people that contributed to that album. With this one, it's just us and. I don't know. We have our first distortion pedal used. I know that for one song, so it's different in that regard, I guess. But I mean, it's folky. It's focusing a lot on harmony, like we typically have done. And to be honest, I don't know exactly how it's going to sound. But the songs are sort of in their infant stages, and we still got some work to do to bring them out. But it'll definitely be vocally based and harmony based. And yeah, that's what we're after. So we'll see.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Graham. We'd love to chat longer, but I'll let you go and get ready for your show tonight.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for having me.
All right, and we'll see you Saturday.
Excellent. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.
And that was Graham Walker with the Olympic Symphonium, and that's all we have, actually, for tonight's show.